You know, a lot of truth to a lot of the words in that song. This whole idea of when it comes to friends, that we long for friends, and yet oftentimes we feel isolated. I know for some of us who are younger maybe here today, you might be having a little bit of a disconnect, thinking, well, what are you talking about friends for? I mean, you just have them. There's nothing to it. But, you know, understand that as we get older, we're out of environments where we naturally foster friendships. And so, you know, we're taking a look at this idea of what does it mean to have real friends with real benefits. So super excited that you're here today. My name is Kurt, by the way. I'm what they call a pastor here at Cross Point. And, you know, whether it's your first time here or you're here every weekend, welcome. You know, we realize on weekends when it's snowing that we're just excited when we see people show up. So really excited you chose to be here today. We believe God builds into us when we're together. And before we do anything else, let me tell you a little encouragement for you before I talk about encouragement. You know, over the last 6 weeks, we've been doing this thing called a kids environment ramp up because we've had a lot of growth over the last 6 months, which means a lot more kids in our kids' environments, and that's resulted in needing more volunteers. And it takes about 120 volunteers a month to staff our children's ministries, you know, to make sure your kids have a place to not only be well cared for, but to learn about Jesus. And so over the last number of weeks, we've been asking for people to fill in some of the gaps we have, and we've had 32 people sign up and say, hey, count me in, I want to fill in the gaps. So way to go, encouragement to you. And in fact, I'm wearing the yellow shirt for all of you out there who wear these on many weekends. Somebody challenged me, said, oh, I'd love the day when I would see you on the platform in a yellow shirt. Never say that to me, because that day, here I am, right, already a few hours later. And because, you know, we value what happens back there. So I know some of you are in purple shirts and green shirts, but any shirts that have this on them with the bubbles are assigned to kids, that this is somebody who's a volunteer who they can trust and is a safe person. So before we do anything else today, let's just take a moment and pray. God, I'm thankful we can come into a room like this, and I'm thankful that you can use every single element, every creative element that we're going to be using, sharing, presenting today, that you can use those things. Thank you for giving Coldplay the lyrics to a song that perfectly tie into this idea of our need for encouragement. God, you can use anything, you can use anybody, and I pray that today, as I talk about encouragement, as I share these simple words, God, that you would amplify them because they are your words. God, that you would amplify them in our lives and specifically in our friendships in ways that matter. I pray these things in your name, according to your character. Amen. Well, you know, I want to do a quick experiment before we get going today, and we'll come back to this later, but you know, every single weekend when we gather here, there are people from all kinds of different spiritual backgrounds, spiritual orientations that come to Cross Point. One of the cool things about Cross Point is, you know, regardless of your background, you can come here and explore at your own pace who this person Jesus is. You know, and our goal is to help you see Jesus for who he really is. And, you know, and so I'm not exactly sure where we all fall on the idea of God speaking to us in terms of prayer or hearing from God, but here's what I want to ask you to do. I want to ask you, all of us, for the next 28 minutes or so, to just ask God to, you know, put somebody on our heart, put somebody on our mind, you know, this whisper the name of somebody, maybe give us the image, prompt in our mind, the image of somebody in our lives that we need to apply this teaching on encouragement to. All right, so we'll come back to that later on in a bit, but just ask God to kind of say, oh, who is this for today? Probably for us, but who else can this be a benefit to? Because what we're talking about is this idea of friends with benefits. You know, going beneath the veneer, beneath the surface level, hanging out with drinking buddies, watching football, now watching Olympics. Woo. You know, and which is fun. It's not quite like football. Not like football. But there's nothing wrong with that, by the way. I mean, there's nothing wrong with hanging out and sharing that level of friendship. But what does it mean to have friends that go deeper than that? You know, friends that I can talk to anything and everything about anytime. Because those kinds of friends, if we're honest, are really, really rare. And, you know, it's easy to have everyday jesters as friends, you know, the kind of friends that are always about the fun and the entertainment. Hey, let's go to this game. Let's catch that. Let's play golf. Let's, you know, it's easy to have those kinds of friends. Those are good friends to have. You know, it usually stays at the surface level, but, you know, it's easy to have everyday jesters. It's easy to have everyday Eeyore friends, right? I mean, the kind of friend which I'm that kind of friend every now and then when I'm going through something difficult and, you know, I'm just constantly leaning into my friends, you know, more than they're leaning into me. And it's kind of like this number, you know, like if you have an iPhone, I have an iPhone and I'll get a phone call and you, when you get a phone call, you look at that and you think one of two things. You're like, oh, wow, look who's calling. And if you're doing something in a conversation, you're like, hey, excuse me, and you take the call, right? Or there's the kind of moment where, you know, you get that call and you're like, do I have the capacity for this person right now? And the cool thing about the iPhone is there's a button called ignore call. And I thank God for that button, because every now and then when I call people, they hit that button. They're like, oh, I can't deal with Kurt right now. You know, and so, you know, it's easy to have those kinds of friends, but we're asking the question, what does it look like to have a real friend with real benefits who is an encourager in our lives? What does it look like for me to be a real friend that is an encourager to others? You know, somebody who's speaking things like hope and faith constantly into one another's lives. And for me, as I've thought about the word encouragement over the last couple of years, you know, it's really been redefined for me as I look at that word through the lens of the Bible. In fact, I want to give us kind of a working definition for encouragement this morning, and it's this right here. Encouragement is the spiritual act of putting or speaking courage into a friend. Right? It's the spiritual act. This is a very spiritual thing. Some of you thought, man, what are we talking about? This isn't spiritual stuff. No, this is a very spiritual issue right here. Encouragement is speaking or putting courage into someone. And so whenever we see encouragement mentioned in the scriptures, there's always a specific target in mind. All right, there's always a very specific target that it's talking about. And it's talking specifically about how do I put courage into someone and help them realize the potential that God has placed in them? How do I speak in, you know, courage or encouragement into somebody's life in a way that helps them maximize all that God has created them to be? That's always the target when it comes to encouragement. Now, what this looks like in a friendship kind of got redefined for me a few years ago when I saw this TV show. Some of you may have watched this thing called Outside the Lines on ESPN. It's a show that they kind of feature athletes, but it's really stories where they transcend what happens on the athletic field and go into things that really define these individual athletes in ways way beyond any of their athletic accomplishments. And there's a story a few years ago on two high school wrestlers from the city of Cleveland, Akron area, just outside Cleveland. And the way that this friendship just developed in their life and was incredibly encouraging, I thought you might benefit from taking a look at it. So take a look at the screens.
Through it all, what would you do for a friend? At Lincoln West High School in Cleveland, senior wrestlers D'Artagnan Crockett and Leroy Sutton are a team of their own. Inseparable, joined together at more than the hip.
Notice your mess, right?
Saw me. Saw me.
D'Artagnan has lifted Leroy onto his back and carried him to and from every match, on and off every bus, into and out of every gym this past season. At more than 170 pounds, Leroy is not a light load. As often as people turn when D'Artagnan walks by with another wrestler on his back, they stop cold when Leroy hits the mat.
It's like some type of power. It's like it just rushes through me. I get the feeling like my hands sometimes shake. So I like sit him on the mat for a second, level him back out, and then I get in my stance. Don't touch me. Don't get near me, because I will show you my strength.
While wrestling is a test for Leroy, much of life has been a trial. The one that shaped his body, if not his life, came on a set of train tracks in Akron, Ohio in 2001. When he was 11 years old.
It just comes by. And it was rocks and gravel. And I kind of just slipped and just went under. I was just staring at the sun the whole time. I was not trying to look down because that's when I would have panicked.
His backpack caught by one of the passing cars, Leroy was pulled beneath the train. His left leg was amputated below the knee, his right leg below the hip. Leroy spent grueling hours in rehabilitation, Those hours changed his body above the waist as well. After transferring to Lincoln West just last year, Leroy's first practice partner was the only wrestler powerful enough to handle him, D'Artagnan.
He was a complete powerhouse. Like, the first time I wrestled him, his strength is almost unbelievable. I never wrestled anyone as strong as him, being as strong as I am.
Wrestling is a sport of shared suffering. Its techniques developed in pain. Its mastery through exhaustion. Practice requires more than a teammate. It demands a partner. Day after day, month after month. As practice partners, D'Artagnan and Leroy grappled with each other all season long. Each the other's competitive constant. And the competition connected them in a way that went beyond the mat. They were together everywhere. Down school hallways.
What up, Mr. Hans?
Hello, Hansi.
In the weight room. On team bus rides.
Guess what?
What? It's peanut butter jelly time! Peanut butter jelly time!
Together, because they share more than a sport. For the teammate who carried Leroy on his back all season knows something about challenges.
From where I'm sitting, I can just barely make out your facial features.
How far away am I from you?
4 or 5 feet, something like that.
D'Artagnan is legally blind. Born with Leber's disease, a condition that causes acute visual loss, D'Artagnan has been severely nearsighted his entire life.
Hi, do you know when I get to West 25th and Meyer? If I try to look at the street signs, I can't really read the words on it. When I get closer to the school, I see certain buildings that I recognize. They let me know when I'm getting closer. I really don't know exactly what buildings. I just know the shape and the color.
He places text just inches from his face in order to read. In class, interpreting a blackboard or following a computer screen is a test in itself.
Sometimes I get some of the letters mixed up because I can't quite see it. I usually make out some words by the shape of the word.
Nothing about him ever gives you the hint that he has a disability. He doesn't allow anyone to know that about himself, the way he carries himself. And, you know, he doesn't ask for any type of help or pity because of that.
I'm just seeing it as a challenge that, like, God has, like, given me. And, like, he's seeing how I'm going to react to this challenge, whether I'm going to let it make me the person I am today or just let it break me.
The wrestler with no legs being carried by the one who can't see. As improbable a pair as they are, D'Artagnan and Leroy share more than the ride together. Outside school, life's been easy for neither. For most of his time at Lincoln, D'Artagnan has not had any steady place to call home.
There have been times that I'd have to, like, just scavenge house for food because we have so little. I've moved about 5 or 6 times within the past 3 years. Some cases because, like, we didn't have the money.
As for Leroy, he lives in a house without any ramps. A hard place to navigate for someone in a wheelchair. Although, it doesn't stop him. It's easier, though, when a friend is there to help out. Or just hang out. Entering gyms all season, their intensity was mutual and menacing. Every time D'Artagnan wrestled, Leroy sat on the edge of the mat.
It's almost like having my brother there. Like, basically having someone I know I can trust, know who's going to be there.
Drive! Drive! Under control!
This season, D'Artagnan won. Again and again. Competing at 189 pounds, the wrestler who only sees shadows on the mat finished 26-3, ending the season as a league champion. As for Leroy, the matches were tougher and the wins harder. He would have it no other way. Wrestling in multiple weight classes this season, Leroy won 9 matches, the majority by pinning his opponents.
Love you, baby.
Love you too, bro.
As hard as each worked on the mat this season, they both wanted to cross a stage as the year closed. Both determined to earn a diploma from a school with a graduation rate of roughly 40%.
My goal was to, like, walk across the stage, and it still is, to actually walk across the stage. And I'm, like, I still want to do that.
I present to you Lincoln West High School, class of 2009 graduates.
On the final night of the school year at Lincoln West, graduation night, D'Artagnan and Leroy each had one more walk to make. For Leroy, a walk upon prosthetic legs he was fitted for just this spring. What would you do for a friend you carried all year long?
Leroy Sutton.
You'd put him down and walk beside him.
From the first time I've met him, I've been carrying him from point A to B to C. Graduation tonight is the first time I finally got to walk beside him. It was a privilege. It was an honor to be the one to walk with him, to help him walk and get his diploma.
It meant so much to me. And no, I have a friend that was there to catch me when I was stumbling. This is only a new chapter. And we just turned the page.
All right, you can go home now. I mean, come on. I mean, every time I see it, I've seen it like 10 times, and I'm still bawling up here. I mean, it's like, you know, there's something about not just the story and the overcoming the obstacle, but, you know, you talk about a beautiful, beautiful picture of friendship. I mean, you know, D'Artagnan carrying Leroy everywhere they go, and then Leroy literally sitting on the side of the mat right there, every match, sitting on the side of the mat. You know, encouragement is a powerful spiritual principle, and it's deeply powerful, specifically when it comes to friendships. I think that's one of the reasons the Bible talks about it so frequently and actually encourages us to be encouragers. And so, you know, let me show you a couple places it shows up. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. It says, therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as in fact you are doing. This was a letter to the early church. This is a letter to the early followers of Jesus. They're gathering together, and they're saying, hey, don't give up on that. Stay together. Stay encouraging one another. In Hebrews chapter 3, but encourage one another daily as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. And then later in that same letter, the letter of Hebrews chapter 10, and let us not neglect our meeting together. He's basically saying, hey, don't give up on doing life together. Don't give up on sharing community together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encourage one another all the more as you see the day approaching. And the really fascinating thing that really plays out in all of these passages is, you know, that God is pro-encouragement. Right? God is pro-encouragement. I mean, these are just 3 of several examples throughout the Bible where God just says, hey, encourage one another, because it's such a powerful thing. And here's what's cool about this. God is pro-encouragement, and he basically says, I'm relying on you. He's relying on me to get this, to be the voice to put the courage into your friends. Right? God says, you're the vessel. You're the one who actually puts the courage into your friends. And I think that's one of the reasons that it's so powerful when it comes to friendships. Well, how do we do this? I mean, what does this look like? You know, last weekend we looked at the Apostle Paul in the Game Day Teach-Off. Paul was one of the superheroes of the Bible. And if you want to hear more about him, you can go back and listen to the podcast. It was a great, great morning. And the Apostle Paul was prolific. He had prolific impact when it came to the early church. And he was very influential in the New Testament, probably wrote approximately two-thirds of the New Testament. What we do know is he wrote more than any other writer that contributed to the New Testament, and so had huge, huge impact on the early church. And what's unique about this is Paul was the most unlikely of candidates. All right, you see, before Paul was on Team Jesus, all right, before Paul was pro-Jesus and into Jesus, his mission in life was basically to systematically eradicate the church. All right, it was basically to systematically, you know, go after Christians, go after people who were, you know, were taking the message of Jesus, this movement of Jesus that began after Jesus rose from the dead, and he was out there through multiple forms. I mean, he would intimidate people, he would persecute people, he would, you know, he would go in and at times, you know, he would kill people, he was a murderer, you know, in order to stop the movement of Jesus. And so he was very anti when it came to Jesus until one day he had this life-changing encounter with Jesus on his way on this road, on the way to this place called Damascus. And understand, you know, Paul was going from one place to the next, and he was not sharing a message of good news at all. I mean, he was basically going, and he was trying to persecute Christians. He's trying to kill Christians until he had this encounter that transformed his life. And listen, this transformation was deep. People questioned if this was really the same Paul that they had seen before, but this transformation was just radical. In fact, it's hard for you and I to understand how radical this was, right? So let me give you a little bit of context. The best example I can think of is this. I want you to think in your mind of the person that you know as Osama bin Laden. And I want you to think of what it would look like if he just became, before he was knocked off, you know, pro-American. All right? I mean, just think, imagine Osama, like, going through the harbor in New York, you know, saying, hey, I'm going to Ellis Island. Let's take a little row around the Statue of Liberty before we get there, because I want to take the oath of citizenship to become a citizen of the United States. You know, Osama's, you know, praying every morning. He's got, you know, his iPod with, I'm proud to be an American. I mean, you know, that would be radical, right? I mean, you think there's no way that would happen. Well, that's the context of how people were viewing Paul. Like, I mean, there's no way. No way, all right? And what's unique about this is, you know, for Paul, this transformation was so radical that people were skeptical, all right? They didn't actually believe that it really took place. And I believe, I mean, as I read the scriptures, I begin to realize that the effect that Paul had on the early church was because, one, of this transformation, and then two, because he had a friend with benefits who came alongside him and was an encourager. All right, he had somebody who came along and put courage into him after he made this turn. And I believe that's one of the reasons that Paul was so prolific in the early church. And it came through a guy by the name of Joseph. And we read about Joseph. He comes on the scene in Acts chapter 4. Here's what it says in the book of Acts. It says, Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. Now, this is the first time we see Joseph in the Bible, and this particular Joseph. And this guy, we don't know too much about him. What we do know is that he too had a life-changing experience with Jesus, and he became a very generous man. He was a wealthy man, and he began to take his resources, his money, and he began to give that to the followers of Jesus to fuel the movement of what these apostles were doing in the early church. And so, you know, one of the things we see is this guy's like Captain Encouragement, all right? He wouldn't be wearing a yellow shirt with circles. He'd have a big star on there. He'd be like Captain Encouragement. It says Son of Encouragement. That's how people thought of him. All right, and so he gets involved in this guy, Paul's life. All right, and I think this was a turning point for Paul. I think this was one of the moments where Paul began to get validated, because, you know, whenever you have a friend with benefits that pours into you like this, there's always a turning point. And that friend is always an instrumental person in your life taking a radical change. All right, and so I think that we can take a look at this guy Joseph, this guy that we know as Barnabas, and do a study on what it means to be an encourager. So the next place we see Barnabas interacting with Paul in this story, you know, people are skeptical. People are like, is this really the same Paul? And we get this little snippet in Acts chapter 9, and we see kind of this is what an encourager does. It says, but Barnabas took him and brought him, meaning Paul, to the apostles, and he told them how Saul, Paul's original name was Saul, got his name changed to Paul, so they're two in the same, they're basically the same person. He told how Paul, or Saul, on his journey had seen the Lord and that the Lord had spoken to him, and how in Damascus he had preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus. So what Barnabas is demonstrating right here is true for all encouragers. All right, all encouragers, friends with benefits who are encouragers, go to bat for their friends. Right? That's what Barnabas does right here. He goes to bat for Paul. And it was unique because it came at a risk to him, which it always does. Right? When you're going to bat for a friend, there's a risk involved. See, Barnabas was a likable guy. He was a big influencer in the early church. When he was he was very, well known in the business community as we begin to see he's wealthy. So likely he had good connections, good networks. And all of a sudden he comes up along this guy who's a murderer. He comes up alongside this guy who now has kind of had a change of heart toward Jesus. And he's like, guys, we need to believe in this guy. And they're like, really? Really? I mean, you're willing to put your whole reputation of who you are and the integrity that we see in you, Joseph or Barnabas, on the line for this guy, Paul? And he's like, I think we need to support this guy. And so Barnabas goes to bat for Paul. And listen, when you go to bat for a friend, I think that exemplifies what I would consider one of the greatest definitions of love that I've ever come across, and that's this right here. Love is ascribing worth to another person at a cost to yourself. See, real love is when you ascribe worth to another person at a cost to yourself. That's what friends with benefits do. When you go to bat for somebody, when you take the risk to come alongside, you're actually ascribing worth, you're speaking, you're putting courage into someone, worth into someone, often at a cost to yourself. All right, see, friends with benefits, listen, this is what they do. They look for the good in you, and then they try to mine it like gold. Friends with benefits that are encouragers, they see something in you that you may not even see yourself, and they begin to draw that out. They see the potential in you that maybe you're not even aware of, and they begin to mine that and hone that and sharpen that and polish that, and they just bring out the best in you. They say things like, man, I know you're a new father, man. I know you just had your first kid. You know what's up from down, but listen, you're going to be a great dad. I mean, I've watched you. I've actually said this to somebody before. I've watched you, and you're going to be a fantastic father. Or they say things like, man, I know you're new in the job right now, and I know you feel like you're sinking. I mean, it's like drinking from a fire hydrant, taking everything in, but listen, you're going to be phenomenal at this job. That's what encouragers do. And one of the reasons I know that is because I've had a friend that's gone to bat for me and spoke these things into my life. Now, as John comes, he had to bring his own stool up because we forgot his stool. And what's unique about that is John actually sets your seats up every weekend. And then we don't have one for him. So here you go, John.
Thank you.
And, John, I've known John for, gosh, we were trying to figure it out a little bit earlier, 16, 18 years, somewhere in there. And been much more connected in our lives for maybe the last 13 or 14.
Right.
I knew John and his wife Tammy when I was in college, and periodically I've seen all your kids be dedicated and, watch them be baptized, and I've actually baptized some of them. So we go way back, but our relationship really went kind of a lot deeper when I began serving as associate pastor at the church that you and Tammy were attending back in the right around 2000. And you said something that I found out later, I heard later, I didn't hear it when he first said it, he said it to one of his friends, that I took, and I was like, I'm not sure what to make of that. Do you remember what it was?
I do. Right. Kurt and Julie had been there for probably somewhere between 2 and 6 months, something like that, and he had gotten assimilated to his role, and I think he'd maybe had spoken once, had preached, we called it, but you call it teach.
Teach, yeah.
we used to call it preaching.
We did, we used to.
But I remember telling one of my friends, one of my close friends, I said, Kurt's not going to be here very long. He's just not going to be here.
And I heard that like 3 years later. I'm like, are they firing me? I mean, what's the deal? What's he know that I don't know? And obviously there was more to it.
Yeah, well, that could be one way that you wouldn't be there very long, but that was not what I was meaning. I could see in him that his abilities were being groomed to be well beyond what his role was at New Life. I was certain that he would ultimately be a lead pastor, and that he'd be plucked out to go somewhere before long, or at the very least an associate at a very large church. So I just had no doubt that you were not going to be staying in that position with us or with anybody else for very long. And I didn't tell you that because I didn't want you to know that. I didn't want you leaving any sooner than we did.
But. Yeah, I mean, it was like 3, maybe 4 years later, maybe 5 years later before I actually heard that you said that. And of course, we'd grown in friendship even over that time because we were now in close proximity. We were golfing together with a broader circle of friends, beginning to really relationally go deeper. Even at a leadership level, you were involved in deeper levels at that church through that time. And You know, and so I would probably six and a half, almost 7 years later after I was in that position, one of my first stops when Crosspoint, as it is now, kind of began to get planted on our hearts, on Julie and my hearts, was to talk to some of my closest friends. And I came to John and his wife Tammy and said, you know, hey, here's what we're doing. Here's what we feel like God's been calling us to. And, you know, they were driving up to this church about 25, 30 minutes north of here. And I knew there was a chance they would jump on board with us, you know, because we were going to, like, be in your backyard practically, you know, when we started this thing down here in Fishers. And yet, it wasn't fully sold. We kind of wondered, is anybody going to buy into this thing? You know, maybe it's just a pipe dream. Kurt and Julie are chasing the, you know, God's put on their heart, or they think God's put on their hearts. So we told this to you and shared it with you, and you guys immediately were like, hey, we want to be a part of that.
Right.
Which to us, you know, meant the world when some of your closest friends actually see, and of course he had seen this before. I even began to realize that's what was in store for my life. But, you know, you had, over those years, and a number of things to build into me, and of course we were very excited you guys came along. You said something else to me that I've never had said to me before when we first started here. You know, John was very integral in those early years, and it was, we were getting teams, you know, kind of mapped out and who's serving where in our launch team to actually launch Crosspoint. John came to me, he said, you know, Kurt, I don't know where you want me to serve. And John had done, he had all kinds of gifts. I mean, he'd served as our treasurer. He taught preschool kids for years. He's like, I'll do that. I'll teach in the preschool room. I'll, you know, set up charity, whatever you need me to do. He said, but here's the thing. You know me really well. And he said, you know, I know you really well. And you just tell me where you want me in a way that I can support you the best. I'd never had somebody say, in essence, tell me where I can make you be better than you really are. In essence, that's what you were saying.
Right.
Why did you say that to me?
Well, a couple reasons. One was we were very close friends, and when you said that you were going to be planting Crosspoint, Tammy and I didn't take us long to come to the conclusion that we definitely wanted to be a part of that. So our friendship was part of that. You know, part of it also was I grew up a pastor's kid. My dad was a pastor for 39 years in small churches, and I watched him try to do too much. I didn't feel like, even though people were very supportive of him, he didn't have the close support that he needed, and even your dad at the other church. And so part of it was that as well, is just saying, hey, look, Kurt, we're all in. We're gonna walk beside you. We're gonna sit at the edge of the mat.
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, exactly. That's what's
good. And we'll be there, and we'll mm-hmm. do whatever you want us to do. I have no preconceived ideas of what our roles would be. We'll do whatever you want us to do, but just know that we're there to support you and to back you up and to help in any way we possibly can. So.
In fact, I sent John that video earlier this week. I said, hey, dude, look at this, because this is what your friendship has meant to me. And it was also so he wasn't bawling by the time he walked up here.
Yeah,
because he'd
really
seen it ahead of time.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's literally, you have been on the side of Matt. In fact, one of the most recent things you've done for me is to come up and sit
exactly,
in the seat right here.
Exactly.
You know, three minutes ago, because this is way, I mean, this is like 3 weeks in the making right here,
yeah,
to get John on platform.
This is not the edge of the mat.
This
dude.
Is not
the edge of the mat.
This is the
back
mat,
there.
All right? He likes the edge of the
this
mat.
This is the middle of the mat. Very hot up there.
That's why I'm in a short sleeve shirt.
Yeah, I know. It's why PJ sweats so much.
Exactly.
I thought, you know, it was just a beard.
He's always on the side of the mat. I mean, when I look out, I can't see most of you. I can always see John right back there in the silhouette of the door, because he's always on the edge of the mat. And that's literally what, you know, figuratively you've been in my life for the last 14 years. In fact, and I want to thank you for that, by the way. You know, I can honestly say that I don't know that Crosspoint would be here right now if it weren't for your friendship in my life. There's, you know, the things we've been through, and I know you could say, well, you guys would have made it. You know, I don't know that we would. There's some hurdles we've been through. There's things that you have spoke courage into me, times when I was really needing that. And it's great to have people, you know, tell you nice things that don't know you, but when it's somebody that knows you well and comes alongside and can speak that into you. And listen, it goes beyond here. It's not just Crosspoint. I mean, John's like second dad to my kids, all right? I mean, if I tell my kids, you know, hey, I'm not picking you up at preschool today, their first question is John's Tinga picking us up? Are we going to John's house? I mean, he's the first call on our preschool pickup list, you know, partly because he's available, but partly because that's, he's like, hey, it's not just supporting you in your role. And honestly, I can't tell you how much that's meant to me. In fact, I don't even know that Crosspoint would be here. I don't know if we would have made it to this point without a friend in my life that brought it. This point.
Well, it's been a pleasure and a privilege.
Yeah. Well, thank you. I love you, man.
Thank
appreciate
you
the role you play.
Let's thank John.
You know, That right there, I'm thankful that I have a John in my life. And a Tammy. There's a pair there. But John is my one of my close friends. And one of the other things he models for me is something else that we find in the scriptures, and that is this, that friends with benefits are willing to take the low place. I didn't put a stool down on purpose, all right? But they're willing to take the low place. All right, there's a humility, there's an approachability that comes. There's a, you know, that's why encouragers are encouragers, because they're willing to not say, I don't want to be in the limelight. I want to be behind the scenes speaking courage into you to help you be the best you can be. We see this in Philippians 2. It says, therefore, if you have any encouragement, it's interesting that Paul uses the word encouragement right here. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ and any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and one of mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or feigned conceit. And this is the part that I feel like John really models in his friendship with me, because that's, and I believe it's true of all encouragers, rather in humility, value others above yourself. You see, friends with benefits value the other person above themselves. And I don't know why they do that. I mean, I'd ask John, what, who taught you how to do that? He's like, I don't know. He couldn't put a finger on it. You know, and I don't know, when we look at the Bible and Barnabas, we don't know who taught him how to do that. We really don't. I mean, we don't really see it. It doesn't talk about who his other friends are. The one thing we do know is that Barnabas was a friend of Jesus. And I have to think that, you know, from being in relationship with Jesus, that it was out of that that he actually had the ability to give that kind of friendship away. But I believe that when we tap into and we, you know, receive the friendship of Jesus, and we begin and continue to grow in friendship with Jesus, that it actually just ups our capacity and ability to be encouragers to others. And I think this is why Jesus, you know, put it this way in Matthew. He said, freely you have received, freely give. Because see, as we freely receive this, I mean, John has taught me how to be an encourager. When we freely receive this, we actually then have the greater capacity to give it away. So a couple applications on this morning. I want you to take out your connection cards that Eric asked you to keep close earlier this morning. I want to talk through a couple next steps that are on the back of your cards. And we do these every weekend because, you know, we feel like, hey, it's great to come in here. We're encouraged by coming together. But there's something about saying, okay, what am I going to do with this week? And so remember way back, like 28 minutes ago or so, a long time ago, when I said, hey, ask God to put, you know, a picture of somebody on your mind, or, you know, just put the name of one of your friends on your heart that you could, you know, apply this teaching to this week. I want you to figure out, one of your next steps is, you know, how can I be an encouragement to that person this week? I mean, how can I speak courage or put courage into that person, you know, and here's the challenge. What I want to say is, don't let the next 7 days go by without in some way sending an email, dropping a phone call, saying, hey, can we get together for coffee? You're getting together to watch the Olympics. I mean, it's not the same as football. Let's watch the Olympics, you know. I mean, something that, you know, you're together, and it's not just getting together, but saying, hey, I want to tell you what your friendship means to me. Or saying, hey, I see what you're doing. I just want to tell you, I believe in you, man. I'm going to go to bat for you. I believe in what you're doing. I want to stand behind you and tell you I'm in your court. I'm on the edge of the mat for you. All right, so who's that friend? Who's that person that in the next 7 days, maybe God's put on your heart, maybe that's your next step. You know, the second one is this, and it kind of ties back to the fact that our Life Together groups are resuming, and, you know, maybe you're not in a small group, and listen, I want to encourage you, if you're not in a group, to find a group and get connected. Look over that list and find a group that's open, because they're starting to fill up. Because, you know, it's amazing what happens when you begin to spend 6-7 weeks together with people. You're not just sitting in a Bible study, but where you're in a place where you are in an environment of encouragement, where people are building into you, where there are people that are going through the same things in life that you're going through, and you're kind of journeying together, you know, encouraging one another in the process. And you know, if you host a group, maybe it's inviting somebody that just needs encouragement into your group. Or you might be saying, Kurt, man, I've got a group that I meet with people. We've got a small group. We'd love to just put structure to that. Then start a group. I mean, there's a place where you can say, hey, I want to start a group. We'll send you some talk points every week so you can, like, talk about the things that we're building into on Sunday mornings. But I just believe God wants us to actively get in the place. God is pro-encouragement. He wants us to get in the place where we are actually building into our friendships yet this week. So as you process that and mark your next step, let me just pray for us as we think about what that means. God, I'm praying that, A, that we would not miss this opportunity to give voice to what you think into our friends. that we wouldn't miss this opportunity to speak courage into them, to put courage into them this week. I mean, you've probably brought someone to every single one of our minds, regardless of, you know, whether we believe in you or not. I mean, someone has come to our mind, and just help us to maximize that opportunity this week. Second God, I pray that, that we would be encouraged ourselves, that we would actually see that this is the kind of friendship that you want with us. So even the folks that are sitting here this morning that are at the very beginning of asking some of the questions about you, that are asking some of the questions of what it means to be in relationship with you, God, that they would see you as an encourager, as someone who wants to boost them up, as somebody who wants to build into their lives and take their lives up and to the right. God, I pray that these things would just take hold. Help us to